Good afternoon, Muskegon, July 24th, Community Focus, the program that brings you news, information, and more. Break those mirrors and get rid of that smoke to bring you facts and what's happening in your neighborhood. I'm your host, one of your hosts, Gregory T. Robertson, to my far right.
I'm Melvin C. Burns II.
Welcome on this day. First, let me say this. There's a lot going on. And as soon as we get all the facts, we'll bring it to you. But people are innocent until proven guilty. Plus, we want to make sure that we have all the facts before we bring you anything. Okay? So I know a lot of people were like looking for that. Also, if you'd like to sponsor the show, please call 231-727-5007. Ask for Janae, Lady J, a Big Rob, PA, or Mihan, Q89. What's the weather looking like, sir?
Wow, we have a beautiful day out today. We had a low of 53, high of 78. Tomorrow expected to be partly cloudy, low of 61, high of 79. And the heat returns on Sunday. Low of 70, high of 85, but there's a 50% chance of rain. Rain is again expected on Monday. Low of 73, high of 83. The sun comes out again Tuesday, low 67, high of 80. On Wednesday, again expected to be sunny. Low of 62, high of 81. And we repeat next Thursday, low 66, high of 81.
Well, again, like I said, lots of stuff going on. What's your top five for this week? How do you limit it to five?
Man, you know what? I just decided there's been so much going on locally, at the state, nationally. I just thought I would throw out Melvin's five suggestions for your social media post.
Okay.
Number one, spelling does matter.
It does.
It does. Number two, I would like to hear and read facts. Number three, if it's your opinion, that's fine. Don't state other people's opinions as if it is your own. Number four, before you post it, check and see if it's AI. Make sure it's true. And number five, I have to put on my other hat here. Judge not, lest you be judged. The same way that you judge others, you will also be judged. That's my top five for today.
Nice. Number six, and when you go in all caps, it means you're screaming. So watch the all caps, all right? Who do we have in the studio today?
Let's get to the good part of why we do this program. It's always to inform the community, and we're honored to have with us today Dr. John Selman, who is the 11th president of Muskegon Community College and has ushered Muskegon into its 100th year as a community college here in Muskegon.
Congratulations.
Dr. Selman, welcome to the program. For people that may not know you, haven't met you, I think you've been here long enough, you're almost a Muskegonite now.
Yeah. Since 2011, I came to the college as vice president for student services and worked my way up to provost. And then finally, in 2022, I became president.
Okay. Okay. Now we have... This year we celebrate 100 years at the college.
Our centennial.
Yeah. For people that don't know, and we're here to talk about the millage, but we have people all over the country listen to our program. And one of the things, if you were in Muskegon years ago, this is not the same Muskegon Community College 40 years ago when I went to the community college. I know, kind of in a nutshell, talk about some of the things the college is doing, in particular, being involved with high school students.
Well, we... obviously, Muskegon Promise, early college, and things like that, K-12 programs that we're involved with. I would hope that the college, and I know the college isn't what it was 40 years ago. We've changed and grown. We have an amazing team of individuals, some of the best, some of the brightest minds in higher education right here in Muskegon, at Muskegon Community College. And so we're pleased with that. We have a couple of national recognitions. Achieving a Dream is an organization that really celebrates community college success, student success. And so we were awarded an award called, it's a Achieving the Dream Leader College status. And we were the only community college in Michigan this year that was awarded that status. And so, but nationally it was probably about 300 or so that the ATD works with, community colleges. And so they told us that we're doing some outstanding work. And then we had a Lucien Award. It was an impact award. And that award is about doing good work around student success, you know, and making sure students get to the next level, get good jobs, and or get transferred to senior institutions for your colleges. And that's kind of our primary function, is to get students ready for next level and or get them to a job where they have family-sustaining wages for their families and themselves. And so those are good things that happen. And the United Way just gave us an award recently, too. And so we were really pleased with that as well. Locally, here's the highest award they can give to a business. And so they awarded us back in June. But the deal is that we are connected to the community. We're doing a lot of good work for the community and the colleges. That's why we have the millage proposal before everybody, because we need to do some things a little differently and improve infrastructure, technology, so we can stay current, relevant, and responsive to employment training needs here in this community. So,
Doctor, years ago, it used to be graduate from high school, go to community college. Now, you guys are really working to make sure that you are working with the high school kids. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I sit on a superintendent's group, 16 superintendents, and we meet once a month, the ISD superintendent, Randy Lindquist, and all the other superintendents, and we work on the issues, right, in education, K-12 and higher ed. And like I said, we got early college programs, dual enrollment, so many more opportunities today for students to get started and get started early in the college process. And so what we know and what the research says is that students that start, take an early college class, take a dual enrollment class, are more likely to graduate from high school and go on to college. And so the high school statistics, you know, graduation rates, everybody wants graduation up. And so, but so many opportunities, and we work closely together. There is probably four constituent groups that we work with. And one is our K-12 partners. The other group is higher ed, our universities, and then employers, and then community-based organizations like United Way and some of the other organizations. So those are four constituent groups that we do a lot of work with and are actively engaged. And K-12 is, you know, we're working with Muskegon Public on the Innovation Academies and other things. And like I said, dual enrollment. The newest thing with dual enrollment is that for years, K-12s have had to pay for dual enrollment when their students come to college. And this passed, the governor just signed the budget on earlier this week. And the state now has put $40 million in a bucket for dual enrollment.
Nice.
Takes a little pressure off K-12 in terms of dollars, and it encourages engagement. At the levels. And so, but we want it to be seamless. We want students to leave high school and a seamless transition to our institution, and then they leave us, go to work, or have a seamless transition to a university.
Again, whether if they go to another college or whether they find a job, a craft, they can find it through community college.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We have about 70 programs, associate diploma, associate degrees, and we probably graduate about 620-30 students annually into the workforce and or to go to a senior institution. So,
Michael Anthony Smith said, any student population growth?
He asked
the question online.
Last year, we had a little over 5,500 students, and that was up about 6% over the year before. So there's some growth, and we expect more this year. We have the promise, and we have about 800 promise students that come to us, and so out of the K-12 system, and so that's growing. Early college is growing. Adults are growing, 21 to 24-year-olds, and 25-plus. So there's some growth. Not so much in, if we look at a targeted group, males are not, that number is not growing as much in total. Education is still important, still the quickest route to the middle class. Some people talk about maybe that's changed, but nope. Last time I looked, you get a college degree, you can move along. Social mobility is there, economic mobility is there.
So August 4th, as people may have been paying attention to state primaries, all that other stuff. But, you know, we like to get people focused on what's happening here locally in our own community. Muskegon Community College, again, is a staple in our community, and you all have an issue on the ballot August 4th as well. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Exactly. On August 4th, we were asking the Muskegon community voters, Muskegon County voters, to consider a proposal to restore an operating millage for an additional 30 years. The millage itself will enhance learning environments, improve safety, upgrade infrastructure, and provide long-term academic support for the community college students. And so this restoration calls for, really, it's a 0.298 additional millage to restore the operating millage back to the original 2.4 mils that was approved in 1993. You know,
that's okay,
been a long time. And so, lots happened. You know, we were a paper-driven institution. Now it's all technology.
Sure.
So many things have changed. Infrastructure, roofs, and things like that have changed. And we, it saves the taxpayers money over time, because if you get these things fixed and you don't let them break and, you know, and maintain them. And we've been in our facility for about 60 years right now in Coeur d'Alene. And it's just, you know, we ran their useful life. In other words, you know, some of the infrastructure, right?
Sure.
The roofs and HVAC systems and some of that stuff has been in place since we had the building. So, but it does break down. And if we want to stay current and relevant, and if we want to offer modern classrooms and labs and training spaces, if we don't, you know, students will go somewhere else. So we got to stay current, relevant, and up to speed. So,
so let's, it's called, and just so people say, it's called the millage restoration.
Yeah.
So back in 1993, people in Muskegon Community County voted for 2.4 mils to go to Muskegon Community College.
Yeah.
And so explain what's the reason for the restoration to, you know, is it still 2.4? Why is that necessary?
In 78, there was a Headley Amendment to the Michigan Constitution, and that amendment reduced millage rates when the annual growth of existing property is greater than the rate of inflation. And so when that happens, it rolls back the dollars. And so we went from 2.4 to just recently here 2.1020 in terms of the millage rate. So we are looking to restore that back. So we want to go back to the original 1993 voter approved piece. And in the midst, and as part of the Constitution, the amendment allows local voters to decide if they want to restore or override the Headley rollback.
Okay.
So it's a local decision.
Okay.
And so that's why we're asking for it locally to be considered. And we have the ability here as taxpayers to restore or roll it back within our individual community. So.
Okay. So again, may seem complicated for folks, but again, inflation is what kicked this in. I think this is the first year or second year we've actually had Headley kick in and affect our tax rates like this, you know, the tax millage rates like this. But we're just asking folks to kind of reset us back to what we said in 93, 2.4 mils.
Yeah. And so just to keep us current, keep us relevant, you know, the community college is an asset. Here in Muskegon, and local employers rely on trained workers. High school students can earn college credit. Adults train for new careers, and community members can complete continuing education, use the campus space for events, art, recreation. And so we really are an asset. I think we did an economic study, and the economic impact here in this community is $249.9 million dollar impact of the college
and
all the things that we engage in. So, we're excited. We got a lot of good things happening. We just, like I think you mentioned earlier, we have our centennial events, and so all year since last June we've been having events here in the community celebrating our 100 years, our centennial year, and our most recent event, an evening with MCC, we had 535. Tickets sold, and we were at the Delta downtown, and it was probably, we raised the whole entire event $185,000.
Wonderful.
To help with students, to help with the campus, but obviously that isn't enough. But it's a good sign, a good indication that individuals really support the college and yes. what we're doing. And so, but like I said, it's an exciting year. We got a lot of good things happening. And most of all, our biggest responsibility at the mm-hmm. college is to help students succeed.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Yes. Speaking, Dr. Selman, how important is it for people to realize that we are not just competing on a local or national, but we need to get our kids to compete on an international basis?
Exactly. With AI, as you know, and online classes, you know, we compete for students all over if you look at it, because mm-hmm. students go online anywhere in the country and out of the country. So so it's competitive.
Yes.
I still think bricks and mortar is the best place where you can come to be educated. But yes. a lot of folks choose online, but it creates a different marketplace.
Yes. Right?
It really does. And so in order to compete, you got to have the technology. Students mm-hmm. have so many different gadgets now. And so our technology has to allow our students to interact with us, sure. right? And mm-hmm. we had to have the technology to do that.
Yes.
And if you don't have the technology, guess what? Game's over.
Yeah.
And our students are much different. They come in with so much technological skill sets.
Sure.
That it's just, it's an incredible, impressive. AI is out there. AI is all over the place, yeah. right? And so people have to train to that. Some folks think that it's going away, but it's not.
No.
Yeah. AI is here to stay. So our role is to help students understand AI and how it works in the classroom and the workplace, and the biases associated with it, mm-hmm. limitations that are associated with it, so that they can compete.
Yes.
They got to be able to compete. So,
yeah. You know, we talk about students, and we had some of your staff for maybe a month or two ago, but, you know, you're also doing a good job of reaching out to what we still call non-traditional students. They're becoming more traditional, the older 25, 26-year-olds that, you know, didn't figure it out right out of high school. That are deciding they want to go back to school. Talk about some of those efforts.
The Michigan Reconnect, 25 yes. years of age and older, students mm-hmm. can get local tuition fees paid at a community college. And so the governor really went after that a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's working well. We got more and more adults that are coming back and getting their degrees, getting credentials so they can compete in the workplace.
Yes.
And so, but there's another set, 21 to 24
mm-hmm.
year olds. And so it's called the Reconnect Expansion. And so that's a part of the new budget as well. But that group, 21 to 24, we're kind of getting lost there. And so it's a real push to get them back in the school. And so those numbers were growing for us until last year. They cut some dollars off. And so, but the dollars have been restored now. So we expect that number to go back up. And then obviously K-12, there's so many different ways now that they come out of K-12, the student can get money. So we had 18-year-olds. And 25-year-olds were getting most of the money. Then they adjusted for 21 and 24 to catch that gap. So, but it's a lot of opportunities for adult learners. You know, the adult learners come in with a little different challenge. You know, family, work, and things like that they have to put in the mix when they're going to school. And so we try to make it affordable and convenient.
And it's never too late. I mean, for us 60-year-olds, it's never too late for us to continue that life learning.
Yeah, it's lifelong learning. And as you know, I mean, you know, what we do is teaching and learning. That's so mm-hmm. we are looking at every phase of life as it relates to teaching and learning. And you can always learn something new. I talked to he had to be 62-year-old student at Rotary yesterday, back in school.
Okay.
And his dad had been back in school, who was much older, but back in school, getting current, staying mm-hmm. current.
Yeah.
And had retired. Felt need to come back and get some additional education.
Okay.
Already had 2 degrees, and so, but it's never too late to come back and to learn. Mm-hmm. So,
one of the things I suspect might be taking place now. Is more parents are becoming aware, especially for their kids out of high school, the idea of not taking on some of the debt of going to 4-year mm-hmm. institutions. Are you seeing effects of that with students making that a consideration for considering community college before they go to 4-year institutions?
Exactly. That's one of the things you can get affordable quality education at the mm-hmm. community college. And a lot of it is free, as I talked about all the different programs, mm-hmm. the Promise, and right now Early College Dollars, Michigan Guarantee, all these different programs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's more affordable than ever.
Yes.
The colleges. Mm-hmm. And so we pride ourselves on students leaving with little debt or no debt when they leave and transfer or go to work. And so, and that's really possible right now for students. And so you just got to take advantage of the programs. They're there. And we do everything we can to make the community aware and students aware of the opportunities economically and otherwise. So,
Now let's talk brass tacks now when it comes down to the home market values, taxable values, yearly tax increase. What can we expect?
And we looked at an average home of $250,000 in the Muskegon area. And so the tax increase would be $37.25, really about 10 cents a day. That would be the increase for a home that's valued at $250,000. So,
okay. You know, again, when you think of cost of education and you think of it's, if you're here in Muskegon community, Muskegon County, it's here in the county. You said the college generates, stimulates almost $250 million.
No. For our budget?
You were saying the $250 million that it generates.
No, economic impact.
Impact. I'm sorry. Yeah. Impact.
$249.9 million.
I'm a budget guy. So my question is like, how much would you want to invest of your tax dollars to see it return and have an impact in Muskegon County?
Right.
You know, and I'm just, you know, not make people decide, but something to think about. You know, would you invest $37, $35 to see it have an impact of $250 million in our community?
And that's worth it, really something that you need to think about because ballots are already out right now.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And early, and we've been out. We've been to every meeting we could to share the information. We can't tell people how to vote, but sure, we can just educate you on what it means and why it matters, and on this other side, and what it's gonna, what we're gonna do with the dollars. You know, this is very real. We're gonna look to modernize our safety enhancements, including updating security cameras and access to our building. Classroom technology upgrades to support relevant instruction, workforce training, replace heating and cooling. You know how when heat goes or the air conditioning. That's a problem.
Trust me.
I'm not coming today.
So these dollars aren't going for administrative salaries or anything like that. Sure. This is strictly a renovation of classrooms, lecture halls, roof replacements, parking lots. Then we've had some dollars before, and we'll have them again. But the point I want to make here is that we really manage the dollars. We provide good stewardship over the dollars that we've had. But it's just time to.
I see one of the things you have is the ADA accessibility. Yeah. And again, if you've been out to the community college, it was built prior to the American Disabilities Act, and there are some challenges there.
Yeah, you know how you got the retrofit.
Sure.
So it's like, you know, some of the things right now, if you go in like a restroom and you begin to renovate, then it's code driven, right? So you got to change everything. So a project that might cost $10,000 going in might be $80,000 coming out.
Sure.
So that's just the reality in the world today. And so, but to keep up, to compete, we will need additional dollars to do that. And this is one of the ways that colleges and other municipalities can go after some additional dollars.
Dr. How important is it for people to realize that this is a educational, this is about investing in our kids. Even if you don't have kids, this is investing in kids in the community. This is not a time to, it's an anti-political vote. No, this is a time for educational education. This is time for a decision based on what is needed in your community.
And I got to stay away from not telling people how to vote because I can't do that. It's part of my role. But I can just state the facts that we need to upgrade our facilities. We have a fine institution. It has a good reputation in the state, good reputation here locally. We train folks for the workplace and to transfer into an institution of higher learning like a university. And so those are things we do, and we've done it well through the years, and we have alum all over the place.
And the workplace, speaking of workplace, there's so many companies right now that are just begging for trained individuals.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things we focus on, we try to work with our local chambers and our GMED, Greater Muskegon Economic Development, to attract talent, to retain talent here in the local area. So, you know, employers are always saying, well, we don't have basic worker for this job or that job. So we meet with employers often to make adjustments because we're dealing with local situations. We want our local employers, they rely on training workers. Yes. And so that's one of the things we really focus on. It's a real focus area for us. So, and we work with probably about over 300 employers a year to do different things. And employers have different needs. But the thing is, the skill sets to compete in the workplace and compete in the marketplace for employers, you got to compete. So you got to have skilled workers.
Yes.
And so, and like I said, this and a college degree is still the quickest way to the middle class. And so and we're doing our best to make sure that we help with that. So,
all right, Doctor, speaking to that camera, because we're down at the bottom of the hour, give them the date. Get them what are you asking for and how they can make a difference. That last closing statement, sir.
Yeah, so August 4th, the operating millage is the operating millage restoration is on the ballot, and we are providing facts here today as to why we would need those dollars and what those dollars would do. It'll make a difference for the community. And like I said, I can't say vote yes or no, but I can say here's the information. You know, we hope this community college is of value to this community, and we know it is. Not hope, but it is of value to this community. And like you said, 200 economic impact. So all the things that we do, people shop, people buy, people live in the community, all those things that are part of the economic impact study. And then last thing I would point out is that we did a facilities study. Now, I don't know, maybe a year ago now, and it was about 50 $50 million over the next, you know, few years, 10 years or so, that things that we would have to fix, right? And so we had an external facilities plan drawn up. And so that was the reason we came back to talk about a millage restoration, because that's just, you know, an additional $50 million is is outside the scope of our current budget. So we got to look at ways we can do this. And so,
Doctor, we want to thank you for being here. Michael Anthony Smith, real quick, will my 1977 degree credit still transfer to a four-year institution?
Yeah, it's a lot of that's on the transfer institution, but you, if it's a complete degree, then they usually transfer. It's when you don't complete your degree, and then, you know, then they move classes around. But typically, like, for example, my bachelor's at the University of Nebraska transfers in full to another institution. And but if I didn't complete it, and there's classes that are left off because there's just statute of limitation on degree completions. If you wait too long, got to repeat a class and repeat a class. But if you got your bachelor's, you or your degree, your full credential, then typically you do not have to.
Okay. Right. Doctor, thank you so much. Good luck. Listen, we're at the bottom of the hour. We have to go show some love to our sponsors. You are watching Community Focus on 103.7 The Beat, M106, the Emoji app, YouTube. We'll see you in a couple seconds. Bottom of the hour, 2:33. Welcome back to Community Focus. We have a special, special guest in the house.
She's our friend. She's our colleague. She's our county clerk. Join us in welcoming to the program. You've been here many times.
Oh, yeah.
Karen Whitehouse, our Muskegon County clerk. Welcome.
Newly married. Newly married.
Newly married to Clyde Whitehouse.
Yes. So you're sitting at home.
Yes.
Watching the president speak. First, I commend you for having the. For doing that, because I don't do that anymore. Yes. And you're just sitting there and you're listening, and okay. And then all of a sudden you hear Muskegon County mentioned.
Yes.
And so what happens once you hear that?
Well, after my husband pulled me down from the ceiling, I just couldn't believe it, you know. And it's infuriating because we work so hard to make sure that our elections are held to the highest integrity. And we have so many safeguards in place, and the things he was saying were not true. There were no ballots. It was registrations that an organization from around the country mm-hmm. was having individuals fill out.
Mm-hmm.
And the system worked because Ann and her staff, they have to double check those signatures with the database that we have through yeah. the Secretary of State.
Uh-huh.
And those signatures have to match in the information. Well, once she saw one or two looking suspicious, she started looking through them all and immediately called the police, who in turn called the state police, who in turn called the attorney general, who in turn called the FBI.
So let's go slow for the people that are listening slow. The clerk saw signatures that looked suspicious.
Yes.
And when you see suspicious signatures, she did what?
Called the police immediately.
She called the police.
And then they did what?
Then the police, the city police, called state police, who in turn called the attorney general, who in turn called the FBI, and they came and took possession of the registrations.
Okay. Now, this happened in what year?
2020.
Mm-hmm. 6 years ago.
6 years ago, I was flying around giving out Biscoffs in the air.
Let's make it clear for you. You're the current county clerk. You took office when?
The first time?
And currently. Yeah. Well, you know, we didn't really do a proper introduction. We didn't do a proper introduction. Tell people a little bit about your background in public service.
Well, initially, I was the vice mayor of the city of Muskegon.
Yes.
And while I was serving as vice mayor, I was appointed to become the county clerk.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that was in 1999.
Okay.
And I served there until 2008. And then Nancy Waters won the seat.
Mm-hmm.
And I left and went to the airline
mm-hmm.
where I worked until the judiciary called me back in 2023. So I wasn't there in 2020.
Yeah.
So now I'm back. I was reelected mm-hmm. and I'm serving until 2028 is when my term is.
And I think it's very important when you are appointed to those different committees and stuff, you aren't just supported by one party. You are unanimously appointed by everyone.
Absolutely. The first time I served under the Republican judiciary. And so I was on the Republican ticket. The second time I came back into office, it was the judiciary again, but it was bipartisan,
mm-hmm.
and they voted unanimously. Mm-hmm. So I've been on both sides of the aisle.
And I don't know if I'm old enough that I don't know a lot of people know that. You know, I know you're growing up. You grew up as a Republican in
yes.
Muskegon Heights, so uh-huh. George Washington, right there on Baker Street.
Absolutely.
You know, and so you were a Republican your first time
yes.
in office.
Uh-huh.
You later on switched parties. So you kind of have a broad view of this whole spectrum.
Absolutely. And I know both sides of the aisle.
Sure.
And so to me, that's what makes me a little different than yeah. most, because yeah. I've been able to be collaborative with both sides.
Yeah. And being a county clerk, I mean, those are smart. If you had to take a percentage, I mean, you run as a Democrat,
yeah.
but how much of what you do is really partisan?
There is nothing that I'm partisan besides redistricting.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, I don't have that. That doesn't come up during my term. But other than that, I don't care what party you subscribe to. If you come in to get a marriage license or a birth record.
you don't need to know how I voted.
I don't need to know how you voted. And even in our elections division, we run things nonpartisan.
Sure.
Because the most important thing is mm-hmm. to make sure that everybody has the right to vote. And that it's an opportunity for everyone to have a voice, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. You could be an independent, you could be Green Party. It doesn't matter to us.
Mm-hmm.
We service everyone with the same level of professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
When you see, yeah, I mean, as a clerk, but you also had a grandfather that died getting people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about when people are working so hard to take that right away from people?
It's frustrating because I don't understand. I do understand the why. I just don't understand the ideology behind it. When they talk about conspiracy theories and that the Democrats are cheating, they're negating the fact that it's bipartisan. Our canvassing is done by part of both the parties, the
mm-hmm.
Republican and Democratic parties.
Mm-hmm.
Our elections have both Democrat and Republican election inspectors. There's a balance of power in the precincts.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they're calling their own people What's the word I'm looking for? They're
either cheaters or incompetent.
Cheaters or incompetent, one or the other. So I don't think they've thought that far.
Yeah.
And I think they do that purposely. You know, you put all that misinformation out and people believe, they're more likely to believe the misinformation than the truth.
Yeah. You know, how much can people learn? Because I saw shortly after that happened, they were doing tests on the equipment. Absolutely. How much can people learn about the equipment, how it works, how the ballots are done? How much of that can people publicly see?
They can see everything. Mm-hmm. We do public accuracy testing. In fact, we had it on Monday.
Now, explain to people when you say public accuracy test, what's happening?
Public accuracy testing is where we test every single ballot.
Okay.
That will go through every single precinct in this county. The ballots are printed from the same ballot batch that the printer does.
Okay.
People can come in and do it themselves. They can put in a ballot upside down. They can put it in backwards. And they can test the machines to ensure that the machines are operating correctly. They can also see what's on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
They can ask questions. Mm-hmm. Every precinct worker that is there doing the public accuracy testing is sworn in at the time. The Election Commission, which is made up of our treasurer, Judge Pittman, the presiding judge, and myself,
mm-hmm.
we're all sworn in. We're there to watch all of the process. So I made sure I put it out in the public that I wanted everyone to come and see for themselves, because it's hard to argue with what you see.
Right.
And so out of the whole 2-day process, we saw two people come in.
Wow.
One was from an Election Integrity, who's a conspiracy theorist.
Okay.
Program. And then another gentleman from Muskegon Township. And I believe the news even interviewed him. He was like, well, after I saw it, I don't have any questions. You know, it's really hard to cheat.
That's funny, because I saw way more posted. I saw way more posted by people asking questions. But, you know.
Are the ballots from Venezuela?
Yeah. As Greg said, I know. In your mind, when you see those things, where people say, well, the people did this, and they know that somebody stopped at McDonald's on the way and changed all the ballots where they brought them down. You see that stuff.
Yeah, you do. It's just a level of being uneducated and some just out and out ignorance. Ballots aren't just handed out. Because I had someone say, well, I received 7 ballots. No, you did not. There are nonprofit organizations that send out registration forms for you to submit to get 1 ballot.
Okay.
And so they may have gotten 7 pieces of information about acquiring a ballot, but you did not receive more than 1 ballot. Now, people say, well, I can vote twice. You're right. You can vote twice. Let me tell you how you can vote twice.
Mm-hmm.
You could vote absentee, and then you decide, I want to go vote in person.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your absentee ballot to your precinct or poll. They invalidate that ballot and give you a new one, and then you go vote. And they're voting twice?
That's voting
twice. Okay, that's the only voting twice we have. Mm-hmm. And it's not considered voting twice. It's just giving you an option.
Yeah.
We have early voting starting tomorrow.
Okay.
And we have a consolidated site. We're one of the few cities in the state of Michigan that does consolidated voting sites. And so we have all 23 jurisdictions.
Okay.
Located at 1903 Marquette.
Okay.
In the student center.
Okay.
They come through door 18.
All right.
And we have machines on demand printing that once the voter comes in, they come up to the main desk. They give their ID. You have to have ID. You cannot vote without ID.
Is that new?
Oh, no.
No.
Now, if you happen not to have your ID for some unknown reason, we do have affidavits that they can sign that are binding. If you lie on this, you go to jail, right?
Right.
So they can sign that, and then they have 6 days to come in with proof.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So they sign in, they get their ballot, they walk over to the machine or to the booth, they vote their ballot, then they walk their own ballot. Nobody touches their ballot.
Okay.
Their own ballot over to the machine. They place the ballot into the machine. And if they've overvoted or not voted, the machine is calculated to kick it back out and give the voter an opportunity. You can either cast your ballot as is, or you can take it out and ask for another one and redo it.
Mm-hmm.
Once the machine calculates your ballot, you're done.
Okay.
Now, in reference to the machines, they are strictly calculators. They can't be targeted. They can't be hacked. It's just like your calculator on your desk. If you can hack a calculator on your desk, then you're doing a good thing. But no, it's not connected to an internet. I've heard that people have said that the vote totals are being sent to China and the Philippines and down to Mexico on a donkey. No, it's just a tabulator. That's mm-hmm. all it does. If something happens to the tabulator and say it jams, because mm-hmm. it is a counting machine, mm-hmm. a Republican and a Democrat come over mm-hmm. and address the issue. If they have to go into the bypass bin mm-hmm. where the ballots are stored, mm-hmm. then a Republican and a Democrat are standing there to acquire that ballot if it gets stuck in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
So this conspiracy stuff just it baffles me. I don't know how they
all right, here it comes.
He turned the sound on back.
The views expressed are my views. If you have a problem, deal with me. On election day or any time when these people are giving you the opportunity to vote, do not mess with them. Leave them alone. Don't mess with them. Let them the process work. If you got a problem, see me. That way she don't have to stay out of it. I'm done. All right.
Secret. Let me ask you about another thing. I see this in the news. People say, well, let's say, for example, Muskegon Heights has 4,000 voters, but they got 8,000 people registered. Mm-hmm. Explain that to people and what that means or doesn't mean.
People die. People move.
Okay.
And I can only explain for my office.
Mm-hmm.
We do the death records, and when someone passes away,
mm-hmm.
the death record is given to our elections director.
Mm-hmm.
She goes into the qualified voter file and marks that the person is deceased.
Mm-hmm.
It then is forwarded to whatever precinct or township that person lives in,
mm-hmm.
and that clerk has to do what she does in the file. So there's a checks and balances. Someone just can't go into the qualified voter file and mark it. Once that city clerk or township clerk has done their portion, mm-hmm. then it goes to the state, mm-hmm. and it's the state's responsibility to take people off. We don't take people mm-hmm. off the voter rolls. So people move all the time. People pass away. They forget to tell us that they've mm-hmm. moved. And in some cases, they've not passed away in Muskegon County. So
yeah.
we would not know.
Mm-hmm. So if I move, if I move from Muskegon to Northern Shores, there's nothing that requires me to go back to Muskegon and say, hey, take me off your voter roll. And so I'm still in that. Now it's up to me
where you vote. But, now, if you choose to go back and vote in that precinct, you can vote. You don't have to live in that area. Yeah. You can vote where you're registered.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the misnomer that people are putting out.
Yeah.
And should the voter rolls be cleaned up? I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not mean that more people are voting.
Right.
And they know that.
Yeah.
They absolutely know
that. People say that. So you're saying they know. They're trying to cloud the issues.
Yeah, cloud the issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always going to be more people on the rolls than have actually had mm-hmm. votes cast always because people don't keep the Secretary of State's office updated when they move.
Right.
Karen, what keeps you and the other clerks composed when so much dirt is thrown at you guys?
Well, when you know you're doing what you're supposed to do and you know that you're above reproach, then you don't worry. It does get frustrating. You know, the personal side of me mm-hmm. gets frustrated. Because one of the things I hate to be is to be lied on, you know.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But as long as you stay steady, you continue doing what you're supposed to do, you abide by the laws,
mm-hmm.
you're above reproach. You know, they talked about Jesus, so I'm in good company. So,
yeah,
they lied on Jesus.
Yeah. I know voter education, people getting their birth certificate is a big thing for your office.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Are you still at the men's shelter?
Yes, in fact, it's because we realized that the least of these were located mm-hmm. at the shelter.
Sure.
And the majority of them couldn't get jobs. They couldn't get housing. Mm-hmm. They didn't have an address to send anything to, mm-hmm. and they didn't have money to get their vital records. Mm-hmm. So that was such a huge hurdle for them mm-hmm. that we sometimes take for granted.
Yeah.
So we decided to go to the rescue mission and bring our office to them. Mm-hmm. We have a new program called Tyler Technologies, and it allows us to print the birth record right on site.
Awesome.
So our office is able to go on to our Tyler system if they were born in Muskegon County mm-hmm. and print their birth record.
Okay.
And we give it to them free.
Oh,
and especially during the fall when kids are going back to school, these people have multiple children sometimes and they yeah. just can't afford $20 at a time.
Yeah.
As we speak, we are at the Muskegon County Jail right now. My staff is providing free birth certificates to wow. those inmates. I think we had 21 or more mm-hmm. that were scheduled to get their free birth certificates.
Awesome.
We work with Goodwill mm-hmm. Industries, okay. The Exit Program, and we're going to be trying to collaborate with the health department too to do and community mental health mm-hmm. to help those individuals get the necessary records that they need to have a productive life.
Karen, now since you in your tenure, you had decided that you wanted to make that clerk's office even more reachable, attainable to the people.
Yes.
How does that feel?
It feels like it's a God idea. It feels as if God put me there to be able to reach the least of those. You know, bureaucracy can be very frustrating for the average person. We think it's easy just to go down to the county building or to the courthouse and get documentation. Mm-hmm. But it's just for the average person, they're not familiar with mm-hmm. that. And so I wanted to make our office accessible to everyone. And we have processes in place. If you can't afford it, we can do waivers. And we need to make sure that everyone has the same access, whether, you know, you're from the right side of the tracks or the other side of the tracks, or you have money or you don't have money. It's a hindrance for some people to get their information because they don't know the process. So we really try to go out into the community and make sure that we go to the community and the community doesn't always have to come to us.
And even when people jump the broom, you even have a chapel now.
Yes, I have a chapel. I love doing weddings. Absolutely.
So how many have you done so far?
I've done over 100.
Really?
Yes.
Folks just want to come down. They want to do it right now.
They want to do it right now. And I'm booked. I'm pretty much booked this month and next month. And so I didn't want it to be just a room.
Mm-hmm.
So we initially decorated it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was blessed to get married and I had all this extra these extra decorations and flowers. So we took it to another level. You have to come see it. It's
okay.
Beautiful.
Well,
so when people walk
it,
in, no, not get married, but just visit.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. So when they walk in there, most people don't know we have it. So It's, I love the look on their face when I open the door and they see it.
That's nice. This way of making people feel like
They're
getting in a bureaucratic building, but they kind of matter.
Absolutely.
That's nice. Very nice.
Karen, what would you say to, if you were speaking to Republicans and Democrats right now, what would you say to those voters about this whole process? You know, for instance, be educated. Don't believe everything that you see. What would you say to those people?
Research yourself. Find out the facts. Come down and volunteer and be a poll watcher. If you don't want to be hands-on in the election, you can be a poll watcher and come in on early voting days
mm-hmm.
or come in during the regular election and watch the process so that it clears up any kind of misconceptions you may have in your head. And if you feel that, you know, you want to be a part of the process, we have election inspectors, we have chair people. Be a canvasser. Come canvass the election and verify the results for yourself. So it's about involvement. Now, mm-hmm. I always say don't speculate, participate.
Okay. Good.
That's good.
All right. So we got the election coming up August 4th.
August 4th. Early voting starts
tomorrow,
which is July 25th.
Okay.
And it runs from 7 to 5, except mm-hmm. on Thursdays, they go to 7 p.m.
Okay.
Saturday and Sundays,
mm-hmm.
two in a row, until August 2nd. Yeah. And so we encourage people that don't feel that the mail service moves fast enough, because we all know it doesn't at times. Yeah. They're more than welcome to come in and vote on their lunch hours, on the weekend. It really takes away the onus of there's no way I can vote. You can vote absentee, you can vote early voting, or you can vote in person on election day.
Now, where are we now with mail-in ballots? And again, I'm somewhat stuck because I just try to keep track. What is the rule with respect to mail-in ballots?
Well, the ballots are already out.
When you mail one back.
When you mail it back, yeah. You can drop it in the U.S. Postal Service, mm-hmm. and it has to arrive up to 6 days after the election for it to be counted. Mm-hmm. But you can also, we have ballot box, drop box mm-hmm. at different municipalities. And you can go on our website or the City of Muskegon's website and see where the drop boxes are. And if you have any questions, you can go on the State of Michigan election site. If you don't know where your precinct is, put your name in, your information, and you can find out exactly where you're supposed to be voting.
Which those drop boxes have good cameras and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, every drop box by law has to have a camera.
And they're kind of heavy.
Yeah, and so if you see people dropping these multitude of ballots in, not so, because they're on camera. So that's not happening.
Yeah. Now, you said something else again to make sure people understand. The election's August 4th, and you said they can get a mail-in ballot up to 6 days after. So
no, I mean, it can be received.
Received, say it?
Yeah.
It can be received.
Yeah.
So the election's October 4th, and you have your preliminary results. When is the election
actually
declared? Yeah, certified.
It's certified on the county level. Mm-hmm. We begin certification through the canvas process on mm-hmm. that Thursday after the election.
Okay.
And normally it's finished by the following Wednesday, depending on how big the election is.
Okay.
And the reason why it goes into the following week is because of military overseas ballots
sure.
have until that Monday mm-hmm. after the election to be received by their cities and townships.
Yes.
So we have to wait at least until after that mm-hmm. following Monday to finish the canvas. Once the county canvas is done, then it goes to the state canvas. And that's usually about 2 weeks later
okay.
when the state canvas is completed. And then part of our responsibilities are a lot of times the state will, after the elections are certified, we will do audits for different mm-hmm. municipalities. So
sure.
the state dictates who we will go and audit following the election.
That's Karen, what do you say to these people that say, you don't need early voting, you can just come out and do it traditional and vote the day of?
That's voter, I won't say intimidation, but it's limitation. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can come out on election day. There are people that eliminates the seniors, that eliminates people that are ill, that eliminates people that are incarcerated but not sentenced yet. So it's a way of eliminating certain voters. So by having these options, this takes away the ability to say that I don't have an opportunity to vote. There's three different ways you can vote. And I think it's a wonderful thing that we're able to offer these services. People love the early voting. Last year was our first year. Mm-hmm. And we were just amazed that we had over 10,000 people come through our facility to early vote.
Numbers up.
So we're really excited about this year, because this is really going to be our second year. We got our act together. We know how to do the lines and making sure that the lines move more. My husband was even in today helping us set up for the early voting sites, putting up the voting booths and making sure that everything is ready for tomorrow as a go.
Awesome.
You know, anything else you want to say, my dear? Congratulations on being married.
Thank you. I just really want to encourage everyone to get out and vote. There's no reason not to vote. This isn't an important election, not only on the state and federal level, but on the local level, because the local elections mm-hmm. are the ones that dictate your everyday lives.
There you go.
Yes. So it's very important that we have a voice. And I don't want to hear, well, I don't like the way this went. Did you vote? No. Well, then you didn't exercise your vote. So I just encourage everybody to get out and participate.
There we go. We have Karen, County Clerk of Muskegon. It's about time for us to end. I'm going to change up on my thought process. Usually I say, go out there and touch somebody, help somebody. Before you make your judge of what is happening in Muskegon Heights, that's all. It is a process that happens. You know, let's make sure that we can see all the facts. People are innocent until they're proven guilty, number one. Number two, those little snide jokes. There are people that go to work, come home, go to church on Sunday, repeat cycle. They're good people. They deserve a proper government. Let the system work out. You keep your little snide comments to yourself. Now, if you want to do something, how about you say a prayer for those people? Let's end with that. You've been watching Community Focus for this day. We'll see you next week. Take care and God bless.